Chapter 16.
Well, now, that's a fine how do you do, Ida said later on as they were piling out of Lexi's car at the Brook Ridge Falls Retirement Center. That was a quick jaunt to Europe, Nan said. If she was even there, Ida pointed out. Well, since she isn't the person we saw pushed, she could have left Saturday morning or earlier, spent 2 days there and come back. It's doable, Helen said. But Rupert said she was napping Saturday afternoon, Ida said. He probably lied. She could have flown in overnight, Nans pointed out. When I went to Italy, I flew overnight, slept right through, and woke up there the next day. She'd have 3 full days there and then fly back Tuesday night. Ruth nodded. This sure does put a damper on our investigation, though. What's Jack going to say? Nans asked.
I don't think he's going to be happy. Lexi pulled her cell phone out. I'll text him so he doesn't waste any more time on this.
Well, don't call him off completely, Nan said. I'm certain we witnessed a murder through the drone, and that still needs to be investigated.
Yeah, but whose? Helen asked.
I don't know. My money says whoever it was is in that pond.
Ruth signaled for Lexi to pop the trunk, and she wrestled the wetsuit out of it.
I didn't get a chance to go in there today. Maybe we can go back tonight, and I'll get a chance to go looking around.
It's dark at night, Ruth. Are you going to bring a big underwater flashlight?
Helen asked.
And besides, who wants to see you in that wetsuit anyway? You'll scare the neighbors, Ida added.
Ruth fisted her hands on her hips.
Hey, I still look pretty good in this thing.
We're not going to go back and jump in the pond, Nan said. We need to go over the clues. We've obviously been looking at this from the wrong angle.
You can say that again, Ida said sarcastically.
I think we better stay away from the Pendletons, Lexi said. We were lucky that the Kingsleys talked them out of calling the cops.
I hope we didn't ruin your chances at getting other catering jobs.
Lexi's heart warmed at the genuine concern in Ida's voice. I'm sure I'll be fine. Most of the people had already left, and Kingsley did say I had done a great job. Luckily, he didn't let your antics reflect badly on me.
And hopefully, we haven't gotten you into trouble with Jack either, Ruth said.
Lexi pressed her lips together. She didn't relish the idea of telling him that Olive Pendleton was still alive. He'd gone out on a limb to get information for them. But it wouldn't all be for nothing. After all, someone was dead, and somebody needed to get them justice. I'm sure he'll be fine. After all, somebody did die, right? Lexi was starting to second-guess herself. She was sure no one could have survived that fall. But if Olive was alive, then who was the victim?
Of course, we just have to figure out who it was that Rupert killed and why.
Nan started walking toward the building,
and we need to get to that whiteboard and look at the clues from this new angle.
It's obvious we need to look into the maid and the assistant. If one of them was the victim, then they would have been missing for several days now. Should be pretty easy to figure out which one, Helen said.
The whiteboard was still set up in Nan's dining room. She took her place in front of it, pointing at each clue in turn so that they could discuss them from this new perspective.
So, our theory of Rupert having the affair with Susan and killing Olive to get her out of the way doesn't hold water now, Nan said.
Maybe Rupert was having an affair,
And Olive killed the person he was having the affair with, Ruth suggested. Nan screwed up her face. Her own sister? But Rupert swung the bat. Why would he kill his lover? Helen asked.
Good question, Ida said. Or maybe he had a fight with the lover and killed her in the heat of passion, Ida suggested.
No, it was definitely premeditated. He got her on the balcony and then clonked her on the head. He had to have planned that out, Lexi said. Nans looked at the whiteboard and sighed.
Maybe the whole theory about Rupert's affair was an erroneous assumption. This could be about the money.
Are we even sure somebody is dead? Ruth asked.
Of course we are,
Helen said.
No one could have survived that fall, and you saw the body lying there, not moving a muscle.
That's right. Nans tapped the marker on the whiteboard.
We just have to figure out who it was. And as Helen pointed out, it should be fairly easy. Once we figure out who has been missing for the last several days.
We can already rule out Susan, because we found that note in the mailbox after the murder. And the fan club lady saw her driving away from the house after the murder, Ida said.
Right. Before this, we thought the killers were Susan and Rupert.
Maybe it was Susan and Olive, Ruth suggested.
But why? Lexi asked. What would their motive be?
Well, if they were as close as people say, Olive might have discovered Rupert was having the affair, and she had the sister help her kill the other woman, Ida said.
Rupert had mud on his pants when we went over later that day, from dumping the body in the pond, though, Helen said.
I noticed that too, Lexi said. But we just assumed that's what the mud was from. It's muddy over by the gazebo, too, and we know he's been working over there.
Nan shook her head. I don't think the theory of Olive and Susan being the killers holds water, because Rupert would notice his lover was missing. No, there has to be another motive.
Ruth shrugged.
Then if it's not about love, it must be about money.
Blackmail, Ida said.
Mildred did say that Rupert went in every other Tuesday and put a large sum of money into a cashier's check.
Helen looked at Ruth.
Did Mildred happen to say who the check was made out to?
Ruth pressed her lips together.
You know, I believe she said it was made out to Cash.
That's odd, Ida said. Why wouldn't he just use the cash?
Maybe he didn't want to carry a big wad of it around. Maybe the blackmailer didn't want to get a thick envelope filled with money. That's a lot of money. Maybe the drop-off point was a post office box that wasn't large enough to hold it, Nan suggested.
Ruth tapped her index finger on her lips.
Those are all good theories. So, if someone was blackmailing Rupert, then why?
Ida snapped her fingers.
I've got it! Rupert was having an affair, maybe with the sister or the maid or the assistant, I don't know which one. But then, someone else found out and started to blackmail him.
You know, that makes perfect sense, Helen said. Olive made the money with her books, and she had family money. Rupert didn't have any money of his own, so naturally he couldn't risk a divorce.
Jack said their finances weren't that great, so Rupert would likely be left with nothing if he had to split from Olive, Lexi said.
And knowing the way her parents were, They probably forced her to have a prenup so he'd get nothing in a divorce, especially if she could prove he was having an affair. But Rupert couldn't keep paying the blackmailer. Olive was bound to notice the money was missing sooner or later, Helen said. That's why he killed the blackmailer, Ruth added. Nance added the words maid and Connie to the suspect list on the whiteboard. Now, if we could just figure out who he was having the affair with, that would eliminate one person. The dead person has to be the other one. Nan stood back from the whiteboard. Okay, then. We know we need to find more information on the maid, and we need to talk to the assistant, Connie. Now, who else should we talk to? The busybody neighbor, Mrs. Jensen, Ruth suggested. Good idea. Nance wrote Mrs. Jensen's name on the whiteboard. What about Susan's son? Helen asked. I know Caspian Kingsley said they were estranged, but she had to put the letter in her mailbox, and I can't help but think maybe they were reconciling. It seems like Susan might be mixed up in something with Rupert. Maybe the son knows something about it. It might even be the reason they were estranged, Ruth added. Does anyone remember the son's name? Nance asked. I do, Ida said. Brent Chambers, 121 Forest Avenue, Oakdale, Kentucky. Wow, that's pretty good, Lexi said. Ida puffed up with pride. Thank you. My mind is like a steel trap on account of all that cipher work I did in my younger days. Ida had a knack for deciphering codes, and Jack had actually used her a few times to decode things for the police cases. Oh, that reminds me. Ida swung her purse up onto the table and rummaged inside. This might give us some clues. She pulled out an envelope and slapped it on the table. It was from Brook Ridge Bank, Susan's latest bank statement. Nance frowned at it. What is that? Ida's eyes gleamed mischievously. When we were at Susan's and the mailman came, I couldn't help but do a little sleight of hand, and I pilfered this from the pile before stuffing the rest in her mailbox. Helen sucked in a breath. Ida, that's against the law. Law schmaw. Ida slid the envelope into the middle of the table. Come on, I know you guys are dying to see what's in here. Her finances could give us a big clue. Ruth eyed the envelope uncertainly. Well, I suppose it would be okay. I mean, the police could get access to this information if they had probable cause. So if Jack could actually investigate this case, we'd be able to know about her financial activities. We're simply circumventing that just a little bit. And if we steamed it open and then glued it back, no one would ever know, Helen suggested. Nan sighed. Okay, fine. She cast an uncertain glance at Lexi. Lexi shrugged. I'm not going to tell Jack. Ida snatched the envelope up from the table and ran into the kitchen. She turned the tea kettle on, tapping her fingernail on the stove impatiently as she waited for it to heat up. When it whistled, she ran the envelope through the steam, melting the glue and curling the edges of the flap until it popped open. She slid the statement out, her eyes growing wide as she read it. Look, right here. This is the proof. She turned the statement to face them, pointing out two lines, each with a $10,000 cash withdrawal. She made two big withdrawals this week. You know what that means. Blackmail, Ruth said. If that's true, Then Rupert wasn't the only one being blackmailed. Susan was being blackmailed along with him, which would give her just as much reason to want the blackmailer dead. And who better to notice they were having an affair and put the screws to them but the maid, who would see everything that was going on in the house, Ida said.